Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobrodošli na frekvenci 89,3 MHz in v taj Ereš intervju, v katerem gostimo enega izmed najbolj pričakovanih tehno gostov to in prejšnje leto v Ljubljani. Govorim o Jamieu Robertsu, alias Blavanu, ki je s svojimi izdajami na založbah, na legendarnih založbah, kot so Hassel Audio, RNS in Clone, v bistvu prikaza najboljše smernice v bas in tehno vodah in požel neverjetno hvalo po celem svetu. Pridružil se nam je tokrat v studiju pred svojim nastopom v F klubu. Hey Jamie, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good man, how are you?
Excellent. Good. How was your trip?
Nice one, easy, really quick from London, so yeah, all good, got here nice and early.
Tell us something about your beginnings. I've read in the recent interviews that you were a drummer, but what I wanted to know was, in what kind of music did you play when you were a drummer? What kind of music did you listen to? What kind of music influenced you?
It's a bit of a tough question, really. I can tell you what I did in terms of being involved in music when I was younger and as a drummer. You know, I was playing in stuff from post-punk bands, like kind of a bit Joy Division-esque stuff, so but using electronics, to like metal music and like grindcore and black metal stuff, and you know, like I did some free jazz stuff as well, and yeah, quite a wide ranging thing, but all like kind of based around pretty abstract music, you know, in terms of like band stuff. But I always had a passion for electronic music, but never really expressed myself in that way until I basically learned how to use some software, which was about, yeah, about 15 years old. I actually gave up drumming when I was about 17, 18. Actually, maybe 18, and kind of really just concentrated on writing electronic music and dance music. And that's where I felt I could express myself more than, say, being a drummer. So I kind of didn't quit drums, but decided to leave it for quite a long time.
Your early tracks are rhythmically quite complex. I can figure out that you really had an infatuation with technical metal and these changes and switches and syncopations.
Yeah, totally.
Which are the artists that you listened to most when you came first in contact with electronic music, and when you started first producing? Which were your role models, if I?
Yeah. Again, man, it's quite difficult to remember, really, because I was listening to all sorts of stuff, and the connections to my dance music kind of came from industrial stuff, which at the time I was looking at from like post-punk point of view, stuff in the 80s, you know, early 90s, and that kind of led me to people like Tony Surgeon, you know, and the Downwards stuff, really. Like, it was kind of just Downwards to me, because I didn't really understand who was involved, who were the DJs, you know. I didn't really know who Surgeon or Regis were, or what they were doing, so I basically, I just remember it as like getting into electronic music was my initial experience, was through techno and the Downward stuff, and then eventually like learning on and seeing where the different paths went on from electronic music, found house music, garage, you know, dubstep, all that stuff. And yeah, it's just I like to think that I keep an open mind about music and don't really get a bit genre specific, even if my own productions are genre specific, but my listening habits are not really so much.
It's interesting, because with Hassel people thought you were somehow connected to dubstep and dubstep roots, but it seems to me that somehow you needed quite a few years to explain yourself musically and explain your techno roots to your audience.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
it was partly down to just, I've said it before in other interviews, but when I initially first put out my first record, those tracks were quite old and I had other material, and it kind of just took a while for this material to come out. So I initially wrote these sort of 138 BPM dubstepy kind of stuff that was on Hessel, and did a few things on R&S and such. So yeah, I think people definitely coined me to the dubstep sound rather than say the techno stuff, but you know, I'm not really bothered about that either. I don't see it as a problem, you know. It's just whatever music I put out, it's just music, isn't it? You know, you shouldn't really worry too much about, you know, where it should be placed or when it should be played or anything, you know. I think that's when genres, if you're into genres, that's when they die, is when you sort of start, you know, trying to box people into stuff. So, yeah. It's something that doesn't really worry me too much. Yeah.
In this sense, you've cooperated in the last years with quite a few big names in techno. Namely, you mentioned Surgeon before. You did a lot of remixes. How did these cooperations influence your production? Did it change after meeting those guys, listening to, being exposed to more techno?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if my sound has changed or if I've learned anything so much from collaborating with people. You know, because it's always just been each person does their own thing, you know. So I don't know. I'd say I've just been exposed to new music that gets released, you know, stuff that I buy on vinyl to DJ. That influences me massively. You know, I think like everyone does. Everyone, when you listen to music, it always influences you somehow. But yeah, there's on the techno side of things, there's a hell of a lot of good techno being released now, and yeah, it's making my job a little easier. If that, you know, trying to write techno music. So yeah.
You play on vinyl, right?
Yeah.
Would you say you're a vinyl purist?
No, absolutely not. Because I also use a USB stick.
On CDJs.
On CDJs, yeah, just for new stuff and that, you know. I like to cut dub plates when I can, but I'm not very good at getting that sorted out. So yeah, a USB stick is a good alternative for me. So, but if I like to try and play all vinyl sets if I can, and try and stay clear of playing the USB stick. But you know, sometimes it's nice to play new material out, so yeah, it's a necessity really.
What is it about vinyl that attracts you? What can you do? You see a reason why you just stuck on vinyl? Why did you go digital all over?
Why haven't I gone digital?
Yeah.
Because I hate it really. I think it's a horrible sound. It does nothing for the actual music industry itself and the scene itself. It doesn't support anyone, really. I mean, you could argue that a lot of people make a lot of money off digital sales, but then I would say, well, it isn't that much more money, really. It's not worth cutting out records for the sake of making, you know, a little bit more cash on your release. So there's that aspect, but also the aspect that I think vinyl just sounds better. Sounds a million times better. I love DJing with it. It feels nice to DJ with. You know, I actually feel like I'm doing something. Yeah, and just a passion, really. You know, that's it, really. Nothing too purist or militant about it. Just I think vinyl is better than digital. That's it, really.
Just a matter of taste, really.
Yeah.
Speaking of sound and the quality of sound, I've heard a Slovenian trio called Niplodok performing live, and what struck me the most was this instant physicality about the analog sound of a live performance. You've spoken about it quite a bit, about your Karen duo with Pariah. Can you tell us something about your how did you two guys meet up and decided to make this project happen?
I kind of met Arthur a few years ago, and to cut to the chase, really, we started the label and started the Karen project just because we wanted to work together, really. the whole live set was the initial idea, really. It just took us a while to build on it, because the main reason was we didn't have the cash to invest in the equipment to do this thing, you know. But over time, you know, as we DJ'd and did our thing, we built this up to be able to build a live show and do it how we wanted to do it, which was, you know, a fully analog live show. And yeah, we also learned, I learned a lot from the Analog Cops, who also do a similar thing, you know, a fully analog live show. So that opened my mind a little bit to how to do this, to play techno live and really sort of do it properly and for the sound to be, you know, full, and, you know, you get a 909 going and, you know, that's what it was about, just, yeah, real performance live. It's totally improvised, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, totally improvised. Nothing, you know, we bring a sampler out as well, and so you got some samples on there that can kind of create a structure, but everything we're doing now with Karen is just totally improvised, no rehearsals. So yeah, just from that aspect of it, like, every show is going to be different, you know, whereas to say if I was going to, he was going to use Ableton Live to do that, it's a little bit more structured, you know. You've got some freedom there to do what you want, and I appreciate people who play Ableton really well, you know, but I think for dance music, if you're going for that sort of raw, improvised feel, then analog's the only really way to do it, if you want that sound, so... yeah, so where was I again?
Yeah.
Varfa. Right, so we basically, yeah, once we decided that we were going to do the live show and make it fully analog, it just literally took us that time to get the funds to build up the actual equipment we needed. So, yeah.
There seems to be a kind of strain also in the UK. For example, in Bristol, Asusu, Calton, and Pev have also made a kind of a live show.
Yeah.
Do you think there's something in the British underground currently that's it's reviving a certain British UK techno sound? Do you think it's a part of it?
I think so. I think the UK has definitely got its own thing going on now in techno again. Like, you know, I think it always did in some ways. I think the UK always had an individual sound when it came to techno. Yeah, there's a lot of people doing, a lot of young kids now who were probably not even born when techno first came around, who were doing, you know, wicked stuff and blowing a lot of these old producers out of the water I personally think, anyway, you know. But in terms of it being so localised to say it's a UK thing, I think a bit mistaken, you know. It's definitely a Europe thing. It's something that everyone in Europe, from, you know, even in Slovenia, you know, right up to Denmark and right across the board, you've got producers writing, you know, new techno, techno that sounds new, sorry. You know, so, yeah, it's an exciting time. Right, yeah.
Let's talk about the other aspect of your performance. You're also a DJ, right?
Yeah.
What kind of DJing style would you say you have? I've heard you say you had, at first when you started DJing, you introduced a lot of quick mixes.
That's
quite a British thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Short mixes, abrupt.
Yeah, when I first started, I tried to do chopping,
yeah.
And failed. Failed epically. Now, I don't know. I kind of go between where I'm at now. I kind of just depends really on what tunes I'm mixing in. I kind of just, you know, whether it's quick mixes, aggressive mixing, or like really slow 3-minute blends. I like to mix it up. It's, you know, I don't really think I've got a particular style. It's just doing whatever my brain tells me to do at that time, you know, not really thinking about it too much. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty styleless. Like, you know, I don't think I'm a good enough DJ to be able to claim a style, you know.
I would seriously oppose that.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think you have a certain style. For better or for worse, you became known in the producer area for your vocal tracks.
Yeah.
Is it fortunate or unfortunate in your opinion?
It's a pretty tough question, actually. Because, yeah, I totally get it. I totally get why some people would think it is unfortunate. And I would probably think it's unfortunate, as in I think I've got some better tracks that I haven't got vocals in, you know? Yeah. And that's probably the stuff that I care most about, you know, if I'm going to be honest about it. I have done some vocal tracks, and it's not... I've not done it to have, like, hits or anything, you know? It's just basically because I like working with vocals, you know? I think it adds a different aspect to the music, you know? It gives a human dimension to something that's really machine sounding, you know? So yeah, it's just basically... And I also like to put things into different contexts, you know, like, and an easy way to do that is to have a vocal line, you know, so...
Do you see a vocal as a rhythmic tool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or as a carrier of certain meaning?
Yeah, I think people who've heard my stuff, like, would probably see it as more of a rhythmic tool, like, not necessarily to hear the words or anything. It's kind of a bit... It's all nonsense, you know, really.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, it's not necessarily for... You're not getting anything from it
fascinated
vocally. Yeah.
By Bodies Under the Garage.
Yeah, it's mainly... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's
Speaking
just...
of, that sample, it's a Fugee sample, right?
Yeah, Fugee it is, sample. Yeah, yeah.
And you also use for your biggest, let's quote-unquote, hit.
Yeah.
You've used Brandy's vocals.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you listen to a lot of hip-hop and R&B?
No, man. I don't,
no?
actually. No, zero.
But I still think... I feel those tracks were personal.
Yeah.
From reading your interview.
Yeah, yeah, they were. Yeah, they were sentimental usage, you could say. Mm-hmm. They were. Yeah, I've not really said anyway. But I should probably explain, because really, I get a lot of people asking me, like, why did I use those vocals and what is it about? And it's the straight answer is there's no real reason other than the. For me personally, it's quite sentimental because they're just songs that I heard in my youth from my parents. Specifically, you know, the two that I've released, the Fugee sample and the Brandy sample, they were just tracks that were just constantly stuck in my head, so I kind of wanted to just put them in a bit of a different context, you know. A bit of fun, really, you know, not really anything too serious, just, you know, and, yeah, just fun, I guess you could say. Because, you know, that's another point, really, as well, is that music doesn't have to be all... deep and serious, you know. Sometimes you can have a bit of fun with it. And yeah, I think it, you know, I don't particularly like Getting Me Down as a track. It doesn't really represent me musically too well, but you know, I appreciate what it's done for me and stuff. So yeah, it's all a real positive thing. So in general, vocals are a good thing. Yeah.
Well, when talking about the vinyl and machines and this warm analog sound, it seems to me that you really put an emphasis on community,
yeah,
on solidarity, on common ground and cooperation. And do you come from a background where there was a big community of maybe techno heads or bass heads?
No, man, totally the opposite, really. I actually come from a community that I didn't really know anyone. I didn't really know anything about DJing until I got into my late teens. And even, you know, electronic music, how there was a community of electronic music producers. This was all new to me, really. So, yeah, I put a lot of emphasis on it because I kind of think that's how I like to be as a person anyway. I like to, you know, like to think of life as a big co-op. You know, like, you've got to get along with everyone. But also, yeah, just people who've taught me a lot about music, that's how they basically taught me how to basically think and work in this industry is, you know, from people like the Analog Cops to the Hessel Audio, mm-hmm. If you look at how they work, it's all about working together and everyone on a level peg, you know, so I try to incorporate that. I don't know, you know, because at the end of the day, I just write music and I DJ. People don't necessarily need to know, or probably don't care that, you know, my ethos on music, i.e. be like using analog gear to, you know, working with the Analog Cops and, you know, having like a little family of producers who have a set of principles when it comes to music, but that doesn't really mean much to people from the outside. But I think if, you know, that's how I like to work, and if, you know, it produces good results, you know, like I get to work with a lot of really cool people, and that, just because I'm in that mindset, that's what makes it possible, you know. Because if not, if I was just some uptight producer who was loved his own music and was just, you know, all about himself, like, you alienate a lot of people, and then, you know, where are you then? You know, you've not got anyone around you to influence you or really, like, help you along in your sort of musical, well, it sounds a bit cheesy, but musical journey, you know, like, that's what it is. Like, so you need people on the same wavelength who see how to work together in the same light, you know. That's, they're the people you need to surround yourself with, or I need to surround myself with. So yeah, I the analog cops, you know, taught me a lot. So yeah, and that's how they see things. Yeah.
Where are you then? It reminded me of a recent news from UR. Matt Mike Banks, MP3 exclusive to Beatport.
Right.
Recently. So it's kind of example of a grassroots movement, but totally alienating itself
it is a good example, man. You know, that's. Yeah, I'm glad you grasped what I tried to say there. Yeah. It was a little long-winded, but yeah.
You've also released on Hinge Finger.
Yeah.
And where did you meet Joy Orbison, for example?
Oh, I've known Joy for a long time. He's been in touch with me since before on my first release, when I just was sending a few tunes out and that. So yeah, working with Joy has been in the pipeline for a long, long time. Just never really got the right tracks or the right thing together for it. When I got to do the EP on Hinge Finger, it was a really nice moment because it was an EP that I was really happy with. They made the vinyl look beautiful. Really liked it. I was really happy with how it looked, and it's nice to work with a good friend. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be other stuff coming out as well in the future. So
You've been quite busy this year, right?
Yeah, really busy, yeah.
A lot of remixes, a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Have you managed to produce any new stuff?
This year, honestly, no. I've wrote a couple of remixes in terms of my own studio, in my own production. Not including Karen, that's been a big part of my time taken up this year, but my own productions have suffered quite a lot, actually. I've not really written any new material, but I'm planning on changing that very, very soon. So I'm excited about it. Back in the studio, as you say.
You're also excited?
Yeah.
Not only for your productions, but also for your show.
Cool, man, me too.
Tell us something in short for all the listeners out there. What's happening? Are their souls going to be burned?
Oh yeah, totally, man. Hopefully. Heads will be off. Souls will be burnt. Nah, it'll be cool, man. You know, I'm hoping everyone's going to have a good time and, you know, enjoy some decent techno music. So, yeah.
4 hours of blissed out hell.
Yeah, exactly, man. That's it. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for your time and for your music.
Cheers, man. Thank you so much.
Evo tebi v Blavan. V bistvu, kaj še reč, no, vse je človek povedal sam. Še več pa govori o tetu na prstih, ki pravi kick drum. Prite v F-klub, da nas poslušate Blavana, britansko tehno čeljust leta. Z vami smo bili za reglerji Jana in za mikrofonom Blavan ter Dino. Čau.
Intervju Radija Študent.